So the past 2 weeks, just an amazing Easter service and a Good Friday service. But Pastor Chris has really been working very, very hard, and I've been focusing on an aspect of victory. And when he spoke to me about filling in for him today, because he is in California visiting her son, and I'm grateful for that opportunity for him to go and at least have some level of confidence when he's away that things will maintain. But he's really been focusing on us in regards to victory. Victory that was proclaimed in the early times, victory in the aspect of salvation, victory in our future. So I wanted to try to kind of bring it all together in regards to victory in our community. And I want to make this personal, because the thing about victory is that we have to realize, and I know you know this, I just want to emphasize this today. It's just so important that we understand that our impact from what Christ did on the cross, right, really needs to reflect every day where we live. And here should be a time where we can come and weep and struggle. There was a pretty nasty, you don't know how close I came to just walking out in the lobby or going to the parking lot and screaming, like, so something's going to happen today, not me. So that's the comfort that we need to have when we come in here, because we've been expelling and sending all this energy out in the community, you make that we need to kind of come in here and be able to say what went on, as well as we may not truly understand the victory that's going to come out of this daily life, but we got to stay consistent in it. And I'm hoping that some of the stuff that I share with you today will help you understand from a paper point and from a spiritual point just how critical it is for you all to do that. The other thing that Pastor Chris has really been trying to emphasize to us is that we're all in this together, but not just Northwest, all right? A larger body of believers, whatever they may be, all right? I watched the cross and the switchblade the other day. How crazy was that? And it was pretty hokey, too. They even fake Jeff, I know my state troopers are pretty, they like fake punch and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what's up with that? You know? And what it was is that, I don't know if you knew it or not, but that gentleman that was in that gang, Nicky Cruz, is still alive today. He's his own ministry that's worldwide. What? Talk about victory in the community. One person that kind of expanded out of that. I'm sure that the day that they ministered to people in the city, there was no victory, if that makes any sense. But over the long haul, God worked through people's lives, and now this ministry's exploded. I probably spent 20 minutes on his website just seeing what he did. But they're not part of our church, if that makes any sense. It's a bigger picture for what's going on. So it's important that I make sure that we understand that Pastor Chris has been drilling us, in my opinion, for victory in the community, understanding that our lives need to be empowered and worked out in the community, brought back in here to kind of be refreshed or maybe kind of got back on. I would hope that one day that the communication be even better, where you could kind of sense when I'm hurting, that you could be up here and just say, come on, Hoodlehead, you know, you'll be all right, you know, just get going again, and then back out into the community every day to really make an impact for what's going on. So I want to make sure that we understand where we've been over the past couple of weeks, and now hopefully just kind of give you what I call like a tactical, practical aspect of victory in the community. Because, by the way, I want to make sure you understand that where you live, you've been placed there strategically for a purpose that you may not truly understand. You may have a glimpse, but you may be having more of an impact in the community than you completely understand. And I realize COVID has been a thing, all right? And one day it'll be over, and then it'll be something else, I guess. But it's been hard. I won't argue with that. So we basically have two groups here today. I do not mean to alienate two groups, and I'm not talking about age or education. Two groups: those that truly believe that God sent his son to die on a cross for us, and that we have accepted that fact, and we're doing everything we can at times, even though not perfect, to pursue that salvation, to pursue, to work through that, to become a disciple of Christ. That's a group. The other group, you're not there yet. It's common, all right, but you're just not there yet. So the only reason that I share that is I'm always concerned that there's one person in here that when I start to have a conversation this way, it makes it feel like you're left out. I do not want that to transpire today. If anything, I won't do this. I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit just works in you, that you are sick, right? And you realize you need a Savior. I really hope that happens today. I hope you get uncomfortable with this, all right? And I love you. You know, if you want to meet me afterwards and say that you know you didn't appreciate that, that's cool. You can do that, all right? But two groups today, those that are saved, those that are not saved, all right? So for right now, if you would just keep that in your head, if you're a believer, okay, then some of the stuff that I'm getting ready to share with you has been carved and set, in my opinion, in the direction that we're supposed to be as a disciple of Christ. We've accepted it. I don't care where you are in tenure with that. I don't care what past experience you've had, and I mean that with all due respect. I'm just talking about right now, right this moment, what's going on that I want to make sure that we understand that is that today is our day. Today is the day. All right? We've got to take some of this, put it inside of us, and do whatever we got to do. And the sounding board is this next part that I want to share with you. I could have put 1 million scriptures up here, but I want to make sure that we understand that. So if we are going to do anything in the community, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, then I want to just go through these scriptures with you to make sure that you at least have just a little bit of a foundation so that you're okay. So if you would be so kind, turn to the Bibles that you either have electronically in the pew, whatever, and go to Colossians. And by the way, it says Colossians 1-36 up here. It's actually Colossians 1-16. So you'd have probably been already in a tithing testimony when I'm trying to stir you for the community. Right? Colossians 1:16. Saved group I'm talking to right now. Those that believe. Colossians 1:16. If we are to be disciples and you're having a bad day, I want you to go back to some essential things. For everything was created by Him. Heaven on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through and for Him. So as believers, Colossians tells us pretty much everything we see, unseen, whether it's like this, an affixture, an affiliation or whatever, was all created by God, and it was created for Him. That's one. The second thing is Romans 3:24. God made a plan for redemption. So because of all these things that He created, whether we see Him or we don't see Him, in Romans 3:24, and I'm actually going to read a little bit of 3:23 to tie it in, all right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we understand that God made all this stuff, those we can't see, those things that we can see, and because of that, our existence, we fall short because of our sin nature for the glory of God. But in Romans 3:24, it also says they are justified freely by His grace. Not us, His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. So for believers, there's two scriptures that can help us. For me, like, you know, okay, like I got like a pocket card, okay? So, all right, I'm a believer. Well, one thing I know, everything that I'm existing in my community, God created, whether I see it or I don't see it. The second thing is I know that as a sinner, I fall short, but through Christ, right, I have redemption, right? That's it, right? You're going to be evangelists here very shortly, all right? Third thing that I want to share with you is that He sent Jesus, anointed by God, for us, for our community. John 17:3, if you want to turn that. I know I'm gonna be hammering through this stuff, right? And I apologize I didn't have a sermon notes. Greg, I'm glad you said something. I can print this stuff out to you, and it's you just use it, okay? John 17:3. Slow down. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and the one who have sent, Jesus Christ. We're believers. We understand that everything in the community was made by him, whether we see it or we don't see it. We realize there's a sin nature, if that makes any sense, and that the only way that we're going to be able to beat that sin or overcome that is through the redemption of Christ. And there's only one God. And the one that you have sent to represent him, shall we say, on this earth, was his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus went around in the community, shall we say, preaching all over the place, or he was well known, shall we say, in there. Some not in a positive way, and I'm okay with that, all right? Some not in a positive way, but he was always going around in his community, and he was always preaching and working through the people that were in the community. He was innocent. He was betrayed. He was tried in the court system that was created by God for his purpose, right? Whether we liked it or not. He was convicted, he was tortured, and he hung on a cross and died. Now, most of you are a lot smarter than me. So let me share something with you. I so want you to eat this today, because if we're going to go and do something in our community and be a disciple, then we need to understand just those three things that I share with you today. God created it. There's a sin nature. The only way that we can do what God has called us to do, the only way we can give glory to him is through redemption of his son. That's a nice foundation for us. If you want to do any type of evangelism, then there it is. So if somebody came to me and said, why are you so goofy, Bob? I can literally go through those three things and share something with them and not worry about having to go any further than that unless I'm really led by the Holy Spirit. I can also share with them, why do you do the things you do, if that makes any sense? And I said, well, my Jesus kind of sort of was just like this. He was involved in the community. He preached the word. He was out doing miracles and works, but he lived in the community. He did not stay behind a closed door, some little whatever those huts were back in the day. You know, he was out there. He was in the marketplace. He was engaged in the community. I also know that he was brutally murdered, convicted in a court created by his father, which I would love to go to that lecture hall when we get to heaven, all right? But the bottom line is that it happened. Whether they want to believe it or not, it has happened. I also know that he was buried, secured, and on the third day, he rose again. And amongst 500 witnesses, I could go on and on and on, but the bottom line, we know that. And before he left, after he rose again, he commanded us to be his disciples. He did not say, and this is pretty cool. All right, I got to share this with you. So I made like reminder cards, all right, object lesson cards for you today. I printed them all out. I left them at the house. I was so befuddled here today, and for those who know me, that is not me. All right, like I am very organized. I try to be on task forever. I left the house, didn't have my iPad, didn't have this, didn't have that, turned around, went back in, blah, 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 1-800-WAH. I mean, it was a mess, all right? So I got here, I didn't have my prayer cards, and it's 10 after 8. You got to do sound check here at 8:30. I don't want to go home running around. It's not that I live that far from here. I'm like freaking out, all right? I got to get the prayer cards. Now I'm like, okay, I don't need the prayer cards. I'm telling you, it's been an amazing morning. So all of a sudden, my phone, all right? Hey, Bob. This is your neighbor, Mark Wright. I'm coming. I want to hear you preach this morning. And just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Turkey. All right? So I'm like, whew. So I picked up my phone, and I was getting ready to call you, brother, and say, get the cards. All right? Because he lives close to me. And fortunately, my wife came to me, saw that I was under duress. She didn't say that. And she immediately was dispatched to the house and got the cards to do that. So why do I even say that, all right? The reason that I share that with you is that it is very important that we understand when we're doing God's work, right, just when you think you're supposed to be organized and on some taskmaster or whatever, that he may have some other direction that's supposed to transpire today. Because if I had not forgot my card, I would not have looked at my phone. I would not know that Mark was praying for me. And he also told me he's filling out an evaluation on how I do today, which I'm really, that's probably why I'm so concerned. I didn't ask Mark for a favor. I didn't ask Nolly for a favor, even though there will be some, you know, got to keep that tank filled, right? God, when he left after he rose, did not ask for a favor for us to be a disciple. Commanded us. Guilty, not convicted. Guilty, not convicted. Not a favor, commanded us to do these things. He commanded those disciples to go and preach so that all that believe in him can have forgiveness. Acts 10:43, and I'm just not going to read it for right now. I just want to just share that to you. So, I told you in the beginning, if we want to have victory in the community, I want to make this as simplistic as possible. If we are believers, we understand that the community we live in was created by God. Your neighborhood was tactically built, placed with the people that are your neighbors, your grocery, the school, whatever the situation may be is, and he tactically placed you in that neighborhood for his glory. And he gave us his word. He gave us, I don't like it to use it as a story, but we have enough information just on these five or six lines that I gave you that he has a plan for redemption. There's a sin nature that he sent his son, right? He sent his son so that we may have freedom, that we are redeemed through the blood of Christ. And then because of that, we have to remember that he went around in the community, just like your community, did whatever he could to preach, to share the kingdom, to share the future, shall we say, to share God's perfect picture to the people in his community. And because he did that, he was beaten and charged and died on a cross. That process also went to the tomb, which we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks. And then from the tomb, he rose again. He came back. He basically affirmed everything that was going on. And then he didn't ask for a favor. He commanded us. You don't have to go to any more Bible school. Too much light off my head. Didn't hear much most. You don't need to go any more Bible school. I don't know how much more we could tell the story. Yeah, are there a gazillion other ways to do it? Sure. All right. All I'm trying to say is stop making it so hard. That's it. I mean, that's what happened. So guys come to me, what happened? I don't know what happened. All I can tell you is this world's messed up. God sent a plan. I sinned. Sent a Savior. If I believe in him, that's it. Well, how do you know that? Went to the tomb. 3 days later, out of here. Came back, said, oh, by the way, Bob, I command you to be my disciple. What did Jesus do? Lived in the community. Went around preaching, doing good works. He did a lot of other things too. All right? Simplistic language is what I want to share with you today. I've often wondered how many times some of us, I'll take all the pressure. No, I'm not going to take any pressure off y'all because that's not what I'm here for today. So I wonder how many times we leave here and it's like, oh, well, be back Sunday. Rather than regroup, you know, got my batteries charged up a little bit maybe. Now I got to go back out. I got work that I need to do in my community. Because you're it. It's created by you. So what's our community? I had the nicest lunch with a young lady sitting up here with my wife. I finally got Miss Morgan to come over to our house and have lunch. She's the reason why I'm preaching today. She affirmed me. Because as soon as Chris told me that he wanted me to preach, I immediately thought about this. And I wrote this whole thing and I said, this is not a sermon. This is some lecture. Right? Then she came and took my whole sermon and gave it right back to me, and she never saw my sermon. I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. All right. That was cool. Thank you. I'm not afraid of you anymore, by the way. I want to confess that. I mean, I saw your purse. I don't want to mess with your purse. If she hit me with my purse, I'd be unconscious, right? So I'm not going to be afraid of Chris anymore once we break bread at our house, right? But I'm grateful that you came over. So what's our community? Because a lot of y'all don't know this because Morgan really hammered us a couple weeks ago and gave us, like, you know, some disciplinary action if you don't do any service in the community. He basically talked to us basically about two core areas, Reisterstown, Westminster, even though there's all kinds of subdivisions in there. And I apologize for the screen being so small, whatever. If you need my glasses, you're just going to have to wait. All right, so Reisterstown, I want to just share about Reisterstown, if that's where we're going to do some work. And I'm just really kind of, this is what I want to go with this. All right. So Reisterstown has a population, by the way, I say it as a local, if you know it. Reisterstown, rather than Reisterstown. Station 41, all right? Population, 27,007. That's how many people live in a 5.2 square mile area in Reisterstown. And oh, by the way, I realize I'm going to talk about Reisterstown and Westminster, and then I'm going to be back in Reisterstown. If you live in Glendon, I will do this for you. I will meet with you. I will help you develop your tactical action plan. I offer my limited services for whatever. It's basically a race base of about 50% white, 37% black, 5% that is Asian. The average household domicile income is $86,241. In our community, there are 10% of that community within 5.2 square miles of Reisterstown that are in poverty. 10%. 10%. The family size, for the most part, is 3.1. I don't know what 0.1 is. I guess that's first month pregnancy. I'm still trying to figure all that out. But, and 2.5. Per household, even though when we raised our teenage boys, there were times that I think it was just half of them there mentally, certainly not at the dinner table. Right? 79% of the people in Reisterstown were born in the United States of America, and 56% of them were born in our state. Now, the reason that I share this with you, right, is that God created all of this for us just within this 5-square-mile area. And our Lord and Savior was really good about how he intermixed or how he served in the community because he understood the community. So one of the things that I will just dovetail on very, very briefly is that I need to understand that even though I think everything's good, it is probability, that 10% of the people that I'm dealing with in Reisterstown are at a poverty level. And not assume that everything's, you know, at that $80,000 range or there's 3 people in a house and all that sort of stuff. Just a plan for that, that we want to make sure that we want to understand that it is important for us to be mindful of how this community, Reisterstown, is connected to the other communities and to what a term that I'll use, it's called a geo-city. In other words, what city influences Reisterstown? What city influences Westminster? What market, trade, transportation, culture, politics, physical boundaries, mountains, waters, whatever, the geo-cities that do that. The geo-cities is a great simple example is if you've ever been on I-95 and stopped at a rest stop and you go in and you look at the map and it shows you from Canada to Florida and it'll have like dots all up and down I-95. And most of those dots are in geo-cities, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey. You with me? They all have an influence, God created by the way, of an influence of how it's going on. So Reisterstown's influence, how we connect to the city, our discipleship, when we're discipling people in Reisterstown, it impacts the geo city. Did you know that? You got to understand that when you are discipling in Reisterstown, you impact the geo city, the geography that's around us. So if I'm doing something for someone that's here. They may have family that lives in Tawny Town or Westminster or Baltimore City or maybe even over to Hunt Valley, and it fingers out, because that's exactly what he did in so many of his ministries. And I'm just using that as a very, very simple example. If I go to Westminster, and I haven't been up there yet, I want to go up there to the Mission Barbecue real soon. All right, that's opened up there. So here's a snapshot of Westminster. Now, the population there is 18,674 with a slightly larger square mile area, another basically a one additional square mile, maybe a little bit more on that. 79% of that group up there is white, 10% is black. Their income's a little bit less than us, which really surprised me, at 80,850. Family poverty rate is actually 1% or 0.5% more than it is in Reisterstown. Family household size kind of close, right? But 92% were born in the United States and 64% were born in Maryland. So those two are very, very simple snapshots of just two geographic areas. And first of all, I wish I would have had time, because I went through the entire directory of the church and wrote down all the zip codes where you all lived and tried to like bunch them in there. So I was like, I'll be here for 3 hours, right? So I just did those two zip codes to start with, 21136 and whatever the Westminster one is, because I can't remember because I don't live there, all right? So that's that. So I want to really focus on Reisterstown. Now here's some crazy stuff, all right? Within 2 miles of this church, I want to read to you the churches that are in the community. Northwest Baptist, bang, the Place of Grace, Word of Life, Glendon United Methodist, Harvest Church of God, Sacred Heart, the Bible Fellowship Church, Neighborhood Church. Neighborhood Church, come on, y'all. Fire and Light, Trinity, Horizon, Iglesia Pentecostal, Reisterstown United Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, St. Luke's United Methodist Church, Reisterstown Baptist, and the ISSO Hindu Temple. 2 miles, 18 houses of worship. What? 18 within 2 miles of this facility. Now you know why I didn't have 3 hours to do all of it. I thought there was 11. And I was supposed to know my district. All right? 18 churches within 2 miles of here. I'm a disciple. God, in order for him to be glorified, he understood our sin nature, sent his son on the cross, put him in a tomb, rose again, came back, reaffirmed, commanded, I need to know my community. Because I can tell you that I guarantee you, if I'd have talked about some of this to you all in the lobby, you'd have thought I was crazy. Because a lot of them are like, well, we need another church, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that we got 18 in 2 miles, and I don't see 27,004 people in church on Sunday. Agreed? Regardless of denomination, I'm not here bashing anything. God will do crazy stuff and do whatever he's got to do to get all this squared away, right? There are 4 churches in the past 5 years that have closed and have had to either be rebought, restarted, whatever, within 2 miles of our church. Our population has not declined. Our population continues to grow. So 18 churches, which means that if you took a few minutes, there's more churches in the 2 mile scope of our physical facility, shall we say, than there are 7-Elevens, gas stations, Chick-fil-A, grocery stores, bars, whatever you want to do. There are more of this category than any other category other than a house. I would just let that sink in, all right? Probably the only thing we need is a Tesla dealer, and then we'll be in pretty good shape up here, all right? So, I want to make sure you got that, all right? So, The houses, again, just in Reisterstown, and forgive me, social media group, if you've already turned me off, and by the way, you better keep your phones off, because I told you to, right? In the housing domiciles, there's all kind of houses, you know, to go from, that God created, by the way, that we're working in. So single-family dwellings, townhouses, we've got some very expensive homes, more than you may realize, and a lot of garden apartments and all, and I could have gone, you know, I really could have elaborated in there if it makes any sense here, but basically in this area, in close proximity to these 18 churches and our ministry, just in Reisterstown, okay, we have houses that range from millions of dollars all the way to, fortunately, some type of Section 8 to help people that just are very, you know, just a catastrophic situation going on. All in Reisterstown, okay? You pick a type of house. The only thing that Reisterstown does not have is a high-rise domicile, a high-rise building for someone to live in. And I'm talking bigger than six stories. And we have Cantata Court, which is a whole other ministry group just in itself. So I just want to make sure you know that, all right, that for that. So the thing that I share with you in regards to this is that we have to understand what's really transpiring in here. I'm just going to let some of these pictures come up here, but I want to make sure that we understand now that we know, and again, in the very beginning, I'm talking to us as believers, all right? Our commandment, not the favor, our commandment, is that Jesus was active in the community. So as an application side of this, if Bob needs to be active in the community, I need to know my community. I gave you some stats, all right, that at least maybe I'm hoping will just kind of like spark a little bit of motivation to understand that, and maybe also realize is that the community is inundated in a variety of different potential religions, good and bad, doesn't matter. Okay, I'm just going to let that be. And we have to understand those people groups. All right, so if I'm dealing with people, it's a high probability in Westminster that most of the people I'm dealing with were born in this country. Make any sense? If I took you to York, where my son's at, that ain't happening. All right? It's only maybe 40, 50% were born in the United States. You with me? So when I'm talking to them, if I'm going to do stuff that's counterculture, if I'm going to go after some root issues, I got to stop talking like an American. You know, I have to understand in a servant attitude, all right, how I'm going to infuse and get my point about it. The impact of COVID and the baggage that's left in our community, we have not seen. And I was told that I can move today, so I want to move, all right? Listen to me. In every world war, in every conflict that the United States has ever been involved in, there has been significant issues once, I hate to say the war, once that thing calms down, you know, in other words, everybody comes home. To make it easy, I'm gonna kind of like stay in the World War II type thing, but like, you know, tens of thousands of people love billions and billions of dollars in destruction, all that kind of stuff, and then the world comes back to reset. You with me? To try to find jobs, raise families, boom, blah, blah, blah. They didn't talk about like suicides, alcohol. Guy's in charge of an aircraft carrier now. He's got to drive a taxi cab. I could go on and on. And by the way, brother, I'm honored to know you. I want to make sure you know that, all right? Because I think about the transition that you have to go through in a matter of 15 hours from Afghanistan or Germany back in the United States in a plane and try to click to a different life, and there's others that served in the military. I just want to make sure you know that. So I feel for you. I want to make sure you know that. So sorry, my ADD. So here we go. All right, so you with me? COVID war, when it ends, we're going to see an era similar to a post-war scenario. It's coming. It's coming. I'm starting to smell it a little bit in our community. Right? You would not believe the amount of overdoses, domestic violence, fires, abuse situations running. And I think what's happened is they've been in this situation with this battle, shall we say, and now it's thunder on our leash. Okay, slow down, Bob. dominion seen and not seen, he created, right? Sin nature, in order to get everybody back on track with God, sent his son. He worked in the community. They said, you're wrong in the community. We're going to convict you. We're going to put you in a tomb. We're going to put you on a cross. Rose again, came back and commanded me to go into that community. Church, I want to plant the seed today of the post-COVID war and the impact that it's going to have in our community, whether you live in Rushtown, Westminster, Glendon, Upper Co., Baltimore City, you know, whatever. It's coming. It's coming. And we need to be, we need to do whatever we can to realize, to understand that as soon as that door starts to open for us to be a little more forward, shall we say, we need to engage, understanding what has transpired, shall we say, all right? So I want to make sure you know that. At the same time, I want to caution you that just be careful in your response. Be careful in your response. Know your community. I'm not saying be chicken. Just understand a community. A simple thing. Who's born in states and who's not. What the economic situation may be. Don't assume certain things. So be gracious as we serve, and just be super sensitive to what's going on as we move about, because each one of you, where you live, the domicile and house that you have, you've been placed by God tactically. Your gift, your upbringing, your beliefs as a believer is going to impact that community. And that is why you have to understand that the scriptures tells us that. So whatever the situation that you're in right now, I want to make sure that you understand that God placed you there in order for you to be a disciple, whether it's for just another day or whether it's for the next, you know, till he comes back, all right? It doesn't matter. That's where we need to do. So we need to understand that, and I want you to do everything you can. There are 919 people currently homeless in Baltimore County. In the state of Maryland, 7,000, 2,500, just those in the city. There is significant drug and alcohol abuse and depression. And God bless you, Stephanie Hintnack, and the ministry that you're doing in our community. I'm surprised that you haven't come and screamed and carried on and what's going on. And I hate to pick on some of y'all today, but you just see me after church if you're upset, okay? So it is crazy what's going on in the community right now, folks. Crazy. Crazy. Large families are now crammed in small spaces all over the place. Multi-groups at higher risk for whatever's going on. The financial impact and just everything that's going on within our society. And certainly that shrinking of the footprint has not helped, because now we're in close quarters all the time for what's going on. It's almost like living with your in-laws all the time. So anyway, I shouldn't, you know. But, you know, I mean, I tease about that. But I'm telling you, it's just nuts for what's going on. So I want to make sure that we understand that. COVID has paused the evictions. COVID has paused the evictions. If there's one thing that's going to happen after this war with COVID, is you're going to see piles of furniture in your neighborhood out front. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, come with me. Come with me. They put fences up on most of the places in the apartments, because they used to put the furniture out by their maintenance shops. So if you go Bond Avenue to Tarragon and Bentley Hill, there's a huge maintenance shop there. They got a beautiful fence they put up around it. People are like, wow, that's really cool. Well, they did that because people didn't want to see the furniture when everybody got evicted. Right? It's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen overnight. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So what are we going to do, or what are we going to be ready to do? I don't want anybody to be shocked. Businesses that are closed and will probably never come back. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, maybe that business wasn't smart and all that. Okay. I mean, I get it, right? If in the neighborhood, if there was a high need for a certain commodity and now it's changed, whatever. But let me share this with you then, is that what is the need of my community? Right? What does my community really need where we may have to, like, fill in? I'm not talking about a gas station or something like that, but if that business or that faction of the business that was, oh, by the way, made by God, dominions that we see and unseen, for purpose in the community that we're serving alongside of it, then what is going to transpire when that business is not available? What is the gap, right? Because to me, a gap is an opportunity. Yesterday, some guy, I pulled up my driveway. My wife was with me. I don't know this guy, and he had an old dog. The only reason I know it's an old dog, just looked old, right? He's literally like four houses down on the other side of the street, whatever, and he's sitting on a curb, and the dog's sitting there. The dog looks exhausted. So we're backing in and got the groceries. I yell across the street because that's just the way I am. I said, I'm like, are you all right? I said, yeah. I said, your dog looks thirsty. He needs water. He was like, oh, that'd be great. So we got this bowl that we've had, our COVID bowl, you know, out front. Filled the thing with water. A guy comes over. Your dog, apparently he's living in Pikesville. You know, all this kind of stuff. I know that sounds ridiculous, okay? But the reason that I share that with you is that, all right, there are service needs, shall we say, and I use that in the most simplest of things. So where are people going to go for things that they've always used to go to? So I'm like, what could I do in my neighborhood? But this is nuts. I apologize I even said that water bowl because that's all you're going to remember. So just by me putting a water bowl out there, I'm meeting a need. That was cheesy. I'm going to do something high end by the end. But that, I just want to make sure you understand that. It's just something that I just want you to keep in the back of your mind. Affordable housing is getting to be a major problem. There are hidden people in our community that you would just be stunned about. I wish, come with me one day and let me ride you around. Just come with me, right? You'd be amazed at the hidden people there are in all communities. I could have expanded this to no going. I just don't have the time, but I want to make sure that you understand that you have my commitment that if you would like to help develop a plan for just your neighborhood or just your community, I'd be honored to come alongside you and give you the dumb Bob version of some things that you could do and maybe even point you in the direction for some other people to help you to get a better picture of the area that you're in. Do not take it lightly where you currently are in regards to the neighborhood itself. Now, before I get into enough of like stuff, I told you there were 18 churches within 2 miles of our facility. Every one of those pictures is within 2 miles of this church. Every one of them. Some of them, 3/4 of a mile away. Some of you all are in communities that probably have 50 pictures of struggles, service opportunities. I'd look at it. 18 churches, all those slides I show you, all within 2 miles of this church, just Reisterstown. Because I have a lot of people that come to me, and if I'd have showed you this, they'd say, oh, that's in whatever, you know. I hate to pick on the city or Westminster. That's so-and-so. This is this. You know, we need to send a mission team to go X. Well, I'm just telling you that where you're at, there's lots that we can do, as best as we can do. Whether they accept us or reject us is not our responsibility. They just should be known for what has transpired because of your love, because what you know, that foundation thing and what. So if I'm struggling, I'm messing up. Nope. God. Right? Sin nature, sin his son, regroup, he made it all, I accept it, he didn't ask the favor, I got to engage. I'm going to say this 17 times till you have it in your head. The other day, when Miss Morgan came over, Miss Davis, excuse me, I was on a Zoom conference call with a group, a cohort. It's a bunch of men and women all over the United States that are trying to do whatever they can to dig deeper into the community and work harder in the ministry in the church. And I want to share something that what I would call the resident theologian, Matt Linsky, shared on there that was just outstanding. And I have that PowerPoint. If you all would like it, I'd be more than happy to send that to you. He said that one of the things that we really need to focus on, I thought it was great the tie-in here as I move forward this good works is that the disciples were constantly in a position where they were conversing and engaging wherever they were. Conversing and engaging. Now, I realize a lot of times we read the scriptures, we go through on some of those, what I would call some of those giants, all right, that just seem to have this plethora of memorization of the scriptures and was able to tell the stories in a very direct way. But I want to make sure that they understand they were called by name, they were radically saved. And because of that, they just had that passion and that heart through the Holy Spirit in their lives to engage in the community. And when they engaged, even though at times we may feel when we read it, when they engaged, it kind of like punched people in the face. It was rude. They engaged the culture. They weren't, I don't want to use the word a coward, shall we say, but they engaged the culture direct. They didn't kind of, you know, back and forth kind of stuff. They just stood their ground and just tried to engage their community. The Bible, right? I can't imagine those other stories of everything that transpired in their day-to-day life, every second of their life for 24 hours. It doesn't matter, because if it did matter, it would be in the Word of God. But the bottom line is, it would be neat to see what those other 20 hours were in a day. What it was like eating meal with them in the community, even though they gave us snapshots of that, but they were constantly in that. And no matter where they went, so when they went to the geo cities, right, they knew that when they went to the cities and they spoke the Word of God and they went to the synagogues and they preached and all these things transpired, they knew that something was going to happen from that, not from what they did, but through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then what happened from that church? When they went to the geo cities and just put it online and made things happen, what happened in the geo city? You can respond a little bit. I know I got to keep you motivated, all right? What happened? The gospel spread, right? It doesn't tell the story of every street where they were, but I guarantee you there was all kinds of conversations going on about them disciple guys and about this Jesus thing, to the point that there was probably conversation, I'll fast forward this, at the coffee table, in a person's house, at the market, all right? Whatever it was, there was impact going on because they were willing to engage the community. Just keep that in the back of your mind, because I think so many times our goal is, well, I'm going to go evangelize, I'm going to give somebody a Bible, I'm going to rap on a door, I'm going to pray with them, whatever. I don't want to take anything away from that, but our greatest impact is going to be when you're living as a disciple every day. And when the opportunity goes to that level, then that's cool. But just remember all the other levels and the impact that you're having when you're in the community. We can't do it from the sheltering of our home, and I know it's been nuts because of COVID, all right? But as soon as any kind of opportunity comes for us where we can engage the community, it's going to be critical for us to do that. Matt also alluded that other than just that, is that here's a very interesting conversation that he had with these gentlemen, these pastors that are all over it. Our ability to embed in the community is a vital link to evangelism. Our ability to embed, to invest in our community, wherever you're at. I know I'm heavy on Reichstown today. Wherever you're at, I wish I knew everybody's zip code. I think I know most of y'all. Your embedment in the community, right, is evangelism. If we evangelize, we can't be silent about it. They need to know us by our good works. There's two types of works: good works and works that need to be good. All right? Good works and bad works. All right? The scriptures are very clear with that. In Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our good works, right, that we need to understand, not that I'm going out and say, wow, I really did a cool thing and put a bowl of water out for a dog. That's not what I'm trying to say. The bottom is they need to be known for good works. When people go past my house or talk to me, the man who knows my name, my Savior, the man who knows my wife's name, my Savior, my community must know my good works. Must. And I hope they know all my bad works, and they knew that I asked them to forgive me. Because I think we forget that. I think I have one bad day at the firehouse, and I lose my temper, and right away, all right, I'm guilty, and I just carry that guilt. So the next time the opportunity comes for me to speak or to do a good work, I immediately, well, it's not immediately, it's that battle I had up here, all right, is that thing pops up. Nope, you're a bad guy. Because this is what you did, right? So you're done. No. Guilty, not convicted. I'm sorry, Sean, that I was such a hoodle head the other day and lit you up for no reason. It's okay, bro. No, I want to make sure you know that. Because I want Sean, I want Sean to know my good works. Because that's our responsibility. Church. The saved. We need to be known by our good works. Whether a bowl of water or some other high-end need, because we know our community and we know that we got to get to it, if that makes any sense, they need to know us by our good works. Because God said that if they know us by our good works, and we show hospitality, and we do these things, is the ability to get the gospel to them, all right, is going to increase, shall we say. The ability for us to expand the kingdom is going to increase. So the final thing that I want to share with you about what Matt said, I'm not done, so I saw some of you close your Bible, so chill out. Matt said that one of the things, the problems that he believes that Christians have is that what happens is that when the culture squeezes us, and we start to feel like we're not having any impact at all, what we do is we tend to retreat. We run into our fort and we close the door and we put our guards up and we load up in all our armor instead of knowing that our God is a mighty God to open the gate and let the lion out into the community rather than hold the lion at the gate so when they break it, we launch. Whew. I got to thinking about that. How many times stuff has happened in my community, and what I do is I tend to retract and I get my defense up. All right, I gotta get a plan here. What am I gonna do to overcome this situation, whatever? All right, Lord, you know, let's do this. I'm going to call someone. You need to pray for me about this and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to take anything away with that, but you're just going to have to listen to me. All right? So here it is. So then I just wait for him. I beat, beat, beat. And then it breaks down. Okay, then I go. Mm-mm. This is what Matt said. If we're really going to evangelize in our community, then we need to have an open door. And don't you go out, if that makes any sense. All right? You let the lion go out right in front of you. The Word of God. All right? Your convictions about being a disciple go into the community. Now, you don't have to be crazy with this. Someone standing there with a gun, that's not what I'm talking about. Just chill for a minute. Because I think about what we've done that. I want to take all the pressure off this church and let's just talk about the church for a minute. How many times do we just kind of huddle up and we wait, boom, 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 you know, beats on it for a while and then, oh, there's an opportunity for it. Now, open it, which means that you may have to do some things that are like super uncomfortable. You got to let the lion out. You can't just go like this, somebody to offend you or whatever. I'm not doing that. They're basically trying to spit on the lion behind you. They're going after that aspect, whether you want to face it or not. So when we engage in the community, I thought it was powerful what Matt said, that the more we embed in our community, the more evangelical the opportunity is going to come up. And stop being, I hate to say so much on the defense, but let the lion out. Preach in all seasons. Let people know that they truly know you by your good works. And if you've done bad works, you've repented that. You're not walking around saying, oh, I can't talk to you because I'm guilty of this, this, and this, and this. Guilty, not convicted. Messed up, asked for forgiveness. If you knew how many times I have failed to do stuff because I feel guilty. You with me? I know you all don't deal with it. I do. I feel guilty. because of what I've done. So I don't feel, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me in front of you. To my brothers and sisters who are believers, we have to understand the impact that we can have in our community, known by our good works. Titus 2:7, in everything, make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. And in Titus 3:14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good work for pressing needs so they will not be unfruitful. Pressing needs. A pressing need may be, I showed you pictures of businesses and that business was doing something. Now that thing's not available in the community. If that's where God has embedded you in the community, then maybe you're supposed to be that store. If people are in a situation where they feel that no one cares for them or loves them or whatever, then guess what? You have been embedded into the community to be known by your good works to meet the need, because God created all of it. Whether the things that we see, don't see, things that are unpleasant, pleasant, it doesn't matter where you are. I don't care whether you're in an apartment. I don't care whether you're sharing. I don't care if you don't even know where you're going to live tomorrow. God embedded you tactically, strategically, to be known by your good works in the community. And I'm telling you, for the feeble attempt that my wife and my household has tried to be known in the community and show hospitality, whatever, I have been stunned at what God can do. Stunned. Now let me take this just one more notch, right? Maybe the reason that we can't be hospitable and we're having such a hard time embedding ourselves in the community is that we don't even know each other. The Murray household had been long hiding behind COVID, inviting you all over for lunch so that the next time I see you, I don't feel like you're my guest. So that's going to change. And if you feel uncomfortable, I'll just feed you on a porch. And now, you with me? Maybe the reason that we're having trouble doing this in the community is that we can't even do this to one another. I really believe that in 1 year, if we really want to do something crazy, every one of y'all has had somebody in your house from our church and shown hospitality, and you've shown hospitality back to them, then it won't be so hard to be so hospitable in the community. I think that may be why. Dumb Bob, Franklin High School education, I'm not afraid of Morgan anymore. Sat at my living room, and it's good. I'm ready to give her my house key. I told her she can use the house. It ain't my house anyway, right? Maybe it's us. Maybe it's us. When's the last time you had somebody deliberately over your house, forgive me, Lord. Not Bible study, all that kind of stuff. Eat. Whatever. Pizza. That's God's food anyway. Right? Just hang out and be together, because then maybe you can strengthen one another for that, because then it's easy to do hospitality from that point. But maybe the reason we're not so hospitable is we're not even hospitable to the people that we know that are saved. God forgive us for that. God forgive us for not having our doors open in our home, with all due respect. I'm sure I'm going to get a lecture after this. So I told you there's 18 churches within 2 miles of here. The Maryland state average for people to go to church is 31%. And ironically, out of that 31%, there's actually a decline in the Christian community attending church. Warning, warning, warning. Well, I don't know how that's possible, Bob. Well, please forgive me. Of those 18 churches that I read to you, or is it possible that one of them may not be preaching the Word of God? Okay, so I'll just leave that at that. I can't even get half my family at church. Believers. I'm trusting on you, Lord. You just stir them. I hope that they're having a miserable day right now because I'm not in church. Forgive me. Now, I'll forgive later. I'll wait till afterwards. 18 churches, 31%. In Reisterstown, 21136, there are 37 families that are members of this church. You signed a form recently that said you're active, no longer relying on God to ask you a favor to be a disciple. That's what really comfort ought to be. I'm no longer going to have God be a favor. I'm going to truly engage in what's going on. So, Dumb Bob, that's two times the number of churches to impact the kingdom. So 18 churches in 2 miles of the house. 36 domiciles, homes, or 21136. So we have twice the amount of churches in the community right now because of your house. You're embedment to evangelism. Nobody good works because you know the story. And I do not want to water that down in any way, shape, or form. You know the story. You are a believer. You don't need any more high-end evangelism to and just engage in the community, be known by your good works. We, in the 21136 zip code, and I could expand this to all communities, we have a higher opportunity to reach people than the 18 churches that are within 2 miles of the church right now. We have twice the facilities. Yeah, we don't have this big hoorah and a really cool worship thing and all that, but they got you, man. They got whatever you got. Whatever. Senior citizen, young, school, it don't mean a thing to God. God will use it. Because where you are, that embedment in the community was tactically set at the cross when Christ died for us. You need to, like, eat this, in my opinion. You need to have a passion for this. Oh, Bob, evangelism's International Mission Board and all this kind of stuff. We got to stop all that. It's a great thing, but that's not what we're called. God calls right here, right now, in our community, as believers. For those of you that are not believers, you can chill out for a few more minutes. We have a greater chance of bringing church to the people every day than waiting for them to come to church. It is a known fact that once people believe, then they join. There's no longer that traditional lineage, shall we say, born in a church, raised in the church, generation of church, and all that kind of stuff. How many other Murrays are in the church? I'll take all the pressure off of you. Just some for right now. If I went back 25 years ago, non-existent. That was just family after family after family. Some of you, you're in a product of your family having you in church, and where is our family? And I realize some have gone home to be with the Lord, or, you know, there's all kind of situations where they moved around, whatever, but I'm telling you, we got to stop standing at that door and waiting for people to come in. And please unlock that door. I'll say it one more time, right? We need to be embedded in our community. If we connect with them every day, showing them every day, making a point that we really want to try to be and to have a difference in their lives, it's very, very important that you understand just how critical this need is. So what's some stuff that we can be to do while we're in the neighborhood? I just want to share this very, very briefly because, you know, a lot of people tell me, well, you know, there's like five things I can do to really be hospitable or to really be engaged in the community. And let me just share some areas where you feel you may not be embedded in the community. So wherever you, and I realize some of you will transition to different locations, you know, because of work and school and all, but just bear with me. So where you work, where you get food, where you get your fuel, where you shop, anytime that you're walking, and that's a really great opportunity to be embedded in the community right now, just being out front, shall we say. People that we talk to, when we go to the bank, when we are driving, any social platform or media that we use, our interface or how we relate to our family, our friends, the people next door, and I realize next door can be very diverse. It could be a garden apartment, or it could be you got a really cool place and you got a lot of land and, you know, you bring your neighbors into you. It doesn't matter. The people on your block or in your community, those that deliver things to you from the post office to Grubhub to whatever it may be, Amazon, that would probably be a better one. Amazon, they know my house, man. I run everything out of business there. All right? I'm going to order my next dog on Amazon, I think. So, all right? So that is just an opportunity. All right? Where I go to school, where I play, where I hang out, shall we say, any community events, going to the doctor's office. What's some things that I could do to like get me going to be embedded in a community? Here's something that I want to suggest. Have you ever just thought about walking through your community and praying silently to God to open up some opportunity? You don't have to go crazy with this, right? I'm just talking about going down, you know, a couple doors, and just praying about a family, or for nothing else, you go by and, you know, at least keep them safe, Lord. I pray they don't get the COVID. You know, I pray that their financial needs are being done. How about learning your community? Like really researching what your community is. Because to me, it makes it easier, if that makes any sense, when I'm trying to talk to people. I always try to go right to the form method. Family, organizations, religion, and then the message. So I immediately, those of you in here, where are you from, where you live? Because if you tell me, oh, I live in Sacred Heart Lane, I'm like, okay, you're in this kind of setup. And if you do this situation, then I'll pick it up from there, whatever it may be. Get out front. I don't know how many of us have the capability to go out front or out back of your house. Stop living out back, please, and go out front. Well, I don't have nothing out there, okay? Walmart is having a sale on lawn chairs. You know them collapsible ones? For $5. Just go get one and sit out there. If for nothing else, parade wave, talk to someone. I'm amazed the amount of people, once they see us, just have conversation. I don't know where it's going to go. Oh, not supposed to know where it's going to go. All I know is that part of my pre-evangelism is embedding myself in the community. I also want to tell you, as believers, that you are going to get slapped, beat up, pushed back, feel awkward. You may see absolutely no response whatsoever in anything that you do, and you are going to feel that what you're doing is futile and requires, shall we say, a reinstatement to your commitment to the task. That's what Sunday should be. Sunday shouldn't be, how do I evangelize? Sunday should be, please help me to get back on to the task about being embedded in my community, known for my good work. And if you're a rookie in Christ, you can chill out. I understand that. But I feel for the most of us, this ain't the first sermon we've been to. Okay? We should be past this to some of it. It may also require you to truly look different in every situation that you're dealing with. Try to always understand what may be happening for you that. So I leave you with this as my last slide. I guess that was a cue that I'm over, huh? Yeah. Well, guess what? Pastor Chris has gone over. I can go over one time. So, sorry, Chris, you're probably watching. Anyway, you have been redeemed by Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary. Don't ever forget that. We understand the basic truth. I hit on that in the very, very beginning. We must embrace and commit to the call of being a disciple. And I challenge you, especially those that are Christians, to truly understand that. We are the church. We need to be known by our good works. We need to pray as if we were on the front porch with Jesus sitting alongside of us. We need to use every gift and talent that we have, because the stuff that I have is going to be radically different from you and every other individual in here, thank God. But use it. You're going to get beat up. I hate when we say you might. You're going to. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to want to like put it in neutral, whatever. I understand. We understand. And we want to encourage you not to quit. Probably wasn't much of a sermon today, it was more of a lecture. I made prayer cards for you all that I would ask that you take one. And these are quick prayer cards. And the reason I did this is that sometimes I think we make prayer way too complicated, especially when we're in the battle, right? Here's a great one. Father, you're good. I need help. Well, where's that? All right, regroup. Simple stuff. A lot of this stuff was from my famous writer, Max Lucado. All right, one of the guys I love. Just short and sweet. To me, it just tends to really kind of jab me at the heart. All right, believers, you're off the hook. Now, for those of you that are not a believer or those of you that are home, I just want to share something to you today. Today is the day. I know how messed up my life was before Christ. It is a miracle that my wife and all are still married. It's a miracle that we're still in this church. Right? But I know it was all because of everything that God created. He knew that I was going to fall short, and he sent someone, he dispatched someone to rescue myself and rescue my wife, and his name was Jesus. And all I did was accept that. I still have can't figure it out. I struggle and try the process, but all I know is my life will never be the same, no matter how messed up or how many times I screw up on this side of the cross. My life will never be the same. And the cool part about it, he knows me by name. He has dined with me. He's not a guest in my house. He is our friend. And I pray that that simplicity of that message is the message of hope for you today. And don't leave this place without agreeing on that and speaking with someone about that. And let's pray, not the sinner's prayer, let's pray a prayer that you believe and you accept and allow God to work in your life. Don't worry about the formality of it all and the process, because it is just that simple. Because God, in order to get to me, had to be very simple for me to get it squared away. We love you guys. I pray God's blessing over you this week. I pray that when you leave here that you realize that you just got commissioned to embed in your community and that you need to start engaging in any way possible. And when you come back here on Sundays, I want you to set dates, start meeting with each other in the homes just one time, once or twice. Don't make it a every week thing. Go to the next family, because then it's going to be easier for you to extend hospitality into the community. And when we come here together and you are led by the Holy Spirit, that you know that someone is struggling, just remember, we're doing all this work in the community. When we come here, we really need to be loved on, kind of bumped back on track, shall we say. And you should be able to just pour your heart out about just how bad it was and people busting on you and whatever that is, because you were trying to embed yourself in the community so that you don't quit. Because we can't. He didn't ask the favor. He commanded us to do that.